Brethren, good evening. Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everybody. It's been a while for me. If you didn't know, I was on vacation for the past week and I've returned, so I'm glad to see everybody. Before I get into my lesson, I wanted to share a little story that occurred to me right before I left for vacation. Friday, June 17th, less than 10 days ago, before my vacation started, I wanted to go and get a health assessment because I had been on this training program for a while and I was curious to see how my results came out. And so when I got my results, I was very disappointed with them because not only did I not progress, I regressed. I got worse. And I was really upset and I was like, I know what it is. And I'm trying to avoid this, but it had to do with my nutrition. And I've tried and tried to avoid it, but once I saw those results, I said, you know what? Friday, yeah, it's time to get serious. I said, it's time to get serious. That's it. Oh, but wait, Sunday's Father's Day. Okay, Monday. Monday, it's time to get serious. Oh, but Tuesday's Luke's birthday. Wednesday's my birthday, and then we're going camping. All right, next Monday, it's time to get serious. Maybe next Monday, okay? Maybe next Monday. But I realized, you know, any excuse that came, I gladly accepted it with open arms. Oh, it's a birthday? Oh, you know, I got Devo tonight, so next Monday. anything that came up, I accepted that as an excuse to push my diet off. And why is that? You know, why do I keep pushing this diet off? Because I'm not ready to give up the junk food, you know, the good food, the food that tastes good. I'm not ready, you know. I didn't want to be sitting there eating my broccoli while everybody around me is enjoying, you know, maybe a hamburger or something, you know. I just wasn't ready. But it's got to happen, right? Because the results, you know, your health, your, you know, all kinds of things come from the nutrition. And it's got to happen. So I said to myself, you know, as Brother Fernandez would say, this is the year. This is the year. So, next Monday, all right? But tonight, as I get into my lesson, and thanks for hearing my little story. When I came up here, right before I came up, we sang the song. We sang, There's a Great Day Coming. And in that chorus, there was the repeat of, are you ready? The question was asked, are you ready? And I'm asking that question, are you ready? Because if the answer to that question, if you have not, because that song is an invitation song normally, and if you have not answered that invitation, I'm asking right now, are you ready? And if the answer in your head is yes, then we don't have to finish this lesson because you can come up right now. We can get to it right now. If your answer is yes, come up right now. But if your answer is not yes, then I guess the real question should be, why? Why do you feel you're not ready? Why aren't you ready? You know, ask yourself this question, why aren't you ready to come up? Why? And answer this question in your head. And then hold on to that thought, okay? Because as I started to assess, you know, reason why some were ready, I started to think back to when I was, before I was a Christian, when I was going through this journey myself. And I said, what was it? And so this little card that I have here, and as I look at it, it has on here a little section that says being saved. And in that section, it has the gospel plan of salvation, right? It has the steps. You know, it has hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, remain faithful. And it has these steps in order. And me being an engineer, you know, I like to evaluate things and look at it as it's a path. And asking the question, where on the path are you? You know, if you haven't made it, if, I mean, for those who haven't made it, or for those, so many of us have made it, but for those who have not made it down the path yet to baptism, ask yourself this question. Where along that path is the sticking point? You have hear, believe, repent, confess, and then be baptized. Where on that path do you feel that sticking point is at? Today we had scriptures read by the brethren. We heard good scriptures. Believe. We heard scriptures of belief. We heard what it takes. You ask yourself on that path, are you stuck at here? I don't think so. Not if we're here. Are you stuck at believe? I don't think so either, but ask yourself that question. And as I evaluated this path, doing this root cause analysis, I remembered back to when I was not a Christian yet. And I would like to share that when I was going down that path, I was stuck on repent. The truth be told, I was stuck on repent. Because before I was a Christian, I struggled. Everybody struggles with sin, right? Before I was a Christian, it scared me, right, to take that step. Because it's a lifestyle change, and I didn't know if I was ready, because sin was always attacking. Sin was there. Sin was a challenge. And as much as, you know, I followed this path, I knew I believed, I knew I heard since I was a kid, I was scared because the sin was running my life. It was running my life. And to change, to take that step, I didn't feel strong enough that I could get away from sin. I didn't feel the strength. And I was afraid that if I took that step and got baptized, what happens if I fall back? What happens if I regress? Right? All that progress I had been working for, and yet the regression comes and takes me back. And it scared me from getting baptized, because in my mind, I was like, I don't want to, you know, if I get my baptism and I wipe my sins clean, and now I have a clean slate, I was scared to ruin that slate, because I didn't want to, you know, I thought that was it. If I get baptized, I clean my slate, but then I sin again, I've ruined myself. And I feared that. I was like, no, I'm not ready. I struggle with this. And when you think about it, and that was what my holdup was, that was my sticking point. I wasn't ready to give up the junk food, the food that tastes good, eating the boring food while everybody is eating, you know, regular food. I wasn't ready to do that. I wasn't strong enough. And again, because I was scared that if I sin, I can't come back after I get baptized. But I was wrong. I was wrong about that, because what I learned as I continued to study is how forgiving the Lord is, and how we're all struggling, and how everyone struggles, and how we do our part, you know, whether we got baptized or not, the sin is going to be chasing us. So why hold off on taking that full step of baptism because sin scared me? Learning how many examples in the Bible that showed God's forgiveness, it encouraged me. And I wanted to point out some of those scriptures that help with that encouragement, that to help realize that if the repent part is the problem, because maybe not, you know, the sin is there and it's too strong, then realize that. Don't let that be your hold up. Don't let that be the sticking point, because nobody is fully ready. There's going to always be learning, and there's going to always be training, you know, while you're before or after. So if we could turn to Isaiah chapter 55, I wanted to share some examples of what the Lord's forgiveness looks like. Some scriptures that were very encouraging to me, and I feel that if this is one of your sticking points, this might also help with encouraging, whether it's to come and get back on track, or come and take that step and make it all the way down the path to baptism. I want to show you some verses that help me with that. So Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7. It says here, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Abundantly pardon. That word abundantly, it means a lot, right? It means excess. It means there is plenty of it. You know, the Lord loves us, and he has mercy for us, and he's going to be there to forgive us if we show that we really are sorry, you know, if that we want to change. Because that word repent, the part that we're afraid of, that word repent, what it means is, it means to turn from sin, to make a change. Change the mind in a desire way. So I pulled these different definitions from Webster's to see, well, what is the definition of regret? And that's what it said, to turn from sin, to feel regret, to change mind, decide not to do that anymore. These were from Webster's Dictionary. And that's exactly what I needed. You know, to desire not to do this, to decide not to do this. I did decide not to do that. I was scared because sin, I was afraid that sin can beat me, even though I desired not to sin. And seeing that, that's what it means to repent, is to, you know, do my part to turn away from it. I didn't have to be afraid of repenting and then fighting sin, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that will always be there. So if we could also turn to another scripture verse that I wanted to share with y'all. 1, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 8. It says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence." Where's that word again? Abound. "Made to abound toward us in all wisdom." You see, what Jesus did when he came and sacrificed himself, God sending him, John 3:16, right? Because he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son. That gave us the opportunity to add forgiveness for our sins. It gave us the opportunity to eternal life. So that saves us. And the abundance that they have, that he has for us to forgive us, again, it's going to be there for us. That's why he did it for us. Because no one's perfect. We will always struggle. But we have that blood of Jesus to be there for us to forgive, to save us, and have us forgiven for our sins. So, one more verse I want to share with you before I show you the little example. Let's turn to Matthew 18. Here in Matthew 18, verse 21, Peter is talking to Jesus and talking about forgiveness. And this is where Peter asks him, "How many times should I forgive my brother when they sin against me? Up to 7 times?" And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Jesus is telling us to forgive and continue to forgive. If he is having us forgive the way that we want to be forgiven, this is his example. Example of what forgiveness looks like. Again, we're sorry. If we're sorry, we want to change this. We sin and it comes after us, but we want to turn away from this sin. This is what we have the blood of Christ for. We have that opportunity to be saved, to be forgiven. So, lastly, I want to get into some examples aside from these verses. And if you want to write some more verses down and read them later, I would encourage you to look at Psalms 65:3, Matthew 12:21, and Daniel 9:9. But for now, let's turn to Luke 15. Luke 15, verse 11. And it reads, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and it began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" That feeling that he had right there is the feeling that I feared. The feeling that was holding me back was, I wouldn't be worthy. I wouldn't be worthy because of the sin that was in my life. I didn't feel worthy. And this parable that Jesus is explaining, let's continue to read what his father said. "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." And that parable that Jesus is sharing shows the forgiveness that the Father has, that the love, you know, that we do fall astray, but the Lord is there to forgive us because we're His. And when we take that step to baptize, to get baptism, we become part of this family, part of the church, and we are there to be forgiven by Him, even when we fall off and regret what we did. He will always be there to forgive us when we do this, when we repent and change our ways. And they began to be merry. See, his brother, now his older son, was in the field. If we go further, he explains to his other son, who was upset, you know, how he got praised even though he fell astray. His father explains to him that, you know, you've been here. You know, you're saved. You'll always be. I mean, you're safe, but your brother, he was gone and now he's back. So if you read further on, I encourage you to finish the rest of this later on because it is inspiring. But the point that I want to show is this parable that Jesus shared with us is showing us the love of our Father, that mercy that he has for us. And lastly, okay, from this example of this parable, a few sermons ago when I spoke up here, I expressed how I wondered why, you know, there's a struggle in life with sin. So for those of us that weren't here to hear that part, if we could turn to Romans 7:22, Romans chapter 7, verse 22. In Romans, what I had pointed out here was chapter 7, verse 22, Paul is speaking. Paul, okay. And he says here, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warning against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." We saw the example of the prodigal son that shows us that we might fall astray, but the Lord is going to be there to forgive us. Our Father is going to be there to forgive us. We see the example of Paul expressing how he himself, the one who's had so much interaction, still struggles with sin and relies on the blood of Christ to be saved. See, all these things that, these examples, all these scriptures that show the love of God and that forgiveness that we have if we just obey his will, take that full step, follow the path of salvation, it was encouraging to me. It is encouraging that there shouldn't be a sticking point. And there is no more sticking point because now, you know, I've been baptized, right? After I got past all that and things just got better and, you know, you grow. And I never thought I'd see myself grown this much. But from then till now, the change comes. It does come. And all you have to do is just take that first step, get past the sticking point. And follow that plan of salvation. We have here Romans 10:17. We have believe. Hebrews 11:6. And what we spoke about tonight, repent. Acts 2:38 and 17:30. Confess. Matthew 10:32. And be baptized. And then remain faithful. See, if you haven't taken that step, the question I asked earlier is, why not, right? Ask yourself, why not? Because right now is a good time. Tonight's a good time. And if you haven't taken that step, right now is still an opportunity to do it, just like it was when we first started this sermon. If you feel that you're ready, if you feel like you've heard, you believe, you're ready to repent, come forward. Come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.